Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, the God that the Bible talks about is the same God that's in your heart today. It's the same God that's dealing with you today.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is I'm Going Through and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today's sermon is called, I'm Going Through. Anybody ever see a wall in front of you in your life, blocking your way? Doesn't look like there's any way through it. You can't go around it, can't go under it, can't go over it. It's right in your way. Well, today I'm here to tell you that you can go through. You can go through if you follow Jesus along the path to get you through. Let's please stand one last time for the key verse. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. That's Joshua 24, 15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, O God, and we pray that you will open up our hearts to receive your word. God, I pray that you will anoint me to speak what you want me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Joshua knew something that some Christians don't know today. That it is up to the individual to make a decision whether or not they're going to serve God. Your mommy and your daddy can't do it for you. I've had people tell me, well, I know I'm a Christian because my mom and dad are Christians. Okay? I'm sorry, but it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. See, Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, the Israelites were at a crossing point. They had to make a decision. Where are we going to go from here? Now, they didn't have all the answers, and I don't think Joshua had them either. But he knew who had the answers. He knew that God, the Father, had the answers. And he said, listen, I don't know about you all, but as for me and my house, because he's the spiritual leader, man, step up. You're the spiritual leader of your house. And that's why Joshua was speaking about his house. We need more men that speak about their house. We need more men that stand up for God in their house. Joshua was speaking for his wife. Joshua was speaking for his children. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You can't compromise on this. You can't let other people's ideals get in the way of serving God in your house. Now, what they do out there is their business. What they do in their own house is their business. But when they come to your house, you serve the Lord. And you make it clear to people, in my house, we serve God. We don't talk that way in my house. We don't curse. We don't watch that stuff on TV that you might watch at your house. We don't act that way at my house the way you act at yours. Listen, that's why it's called my house, right? Joshua knew that. Amen? There's nothing wrong with claiming it to be your house unless they're paying your bills. It ain't theirs, is it? Praise God. So Joshua was making a stand for God, and he was including his household as being the man and the leader of his spiritual leader of his family. It takes a leader to lead someone, amen? But it also takes a follower. Man, you can't lead your wives if you're not following Jesus because you don't know where you're going. So you got to follow the one who knows, amen? Joshua was a man of commitment to God. We don't have enough people committed today. Joshua was a man committed to God. You see, he had a bond with God that he wasn't going to break. See, God's not going to break your bond with you and him. He's not going to do that. But you can. You can step away and say, I'm not going to listen to the word of God. I'm going to live my life any way I want to. From here on in, I'm not going to listen to God. Well, that's foolishness. Because it didn't get you anywhere before you came to church, right? Or you wouldn't be here, would you? Joshua was a man of commitment to God. He was not about to allow anything or anyone sway him from serving the Almighty God. Now remember, there was millions of Israelites out there. Not all of them were too happy about being in the desert lost. But Joshua wasn't about to let that sway him. Joshua was not about to give up what he had with God. See, serving God isn't always easy. The work that God requires of us is sometimes very difficult. Joshua was leading the Israelites into battles. And there was a good chance that many of them would die. In fact, many of them did die. And Joshua was subject to that same danger. But he knew that God was on his side, even though the people weren't always on his side. Now, you know as well as I do that you can be doing something that you know you should be doing and people will come up against you. You know you're doing right at something and yet you got naysayers in your life trying to stop you. You can't do that. You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't be here. But if you're committed to something or someone, you follow through, right? Amen? Joshua, and I got about 4 points I want to make here. And point number one is Joshua offers to us. Now listen to this. Joshua offers to us a declaration of determination. How many of you are determined to follow God no matter what? 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. Listen what this says. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Now listen, let me stop right here. Paul is writing this to the church. And what he is saying is that he is comparing a worldly race with a spiritual race. And what he's saying is in the world, if you enter a marathon, you're racing to get a crown that's not going to last, right? It's going to perish. Either you're going to die or the crown's going to fall apart, whichever comes first. But it's really meaningless. Amen? So he's making a comparison between spirituality and the world we live in. And then he goes on to say, therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And look at this verse 27, but I discipline my body. I'm going to tell you guys right now, if you do not discipline yourselves to serve God, well, it's not going to work out for you. See, listen, when you catch yourself saying something mean, rotten, and nasty about another person, whether it's true or not, you better discipline yourself to stop doing that. You better quit. You better stop. When you find yourself about to abuse a substance, you better discipline yourself not to do that. When you catch yourself not wanting to come to church, you better discipline yourself to turn back around and get to church. It all starts with playing hooky one weekend. I got too many things I got to do, and I just want to relax when I'm done. And then next Sunday comes, and you say, well, I'll go next Sunday. Before you know it, you're gone a month of Sundays, and you don't want to come back because everyone's going to look at you funny and ask where you've been. Amen? You got to discipline yourself when you want to serve God. The flesh don't want to do it. The flesh don't want to do it. The flesh wants to sit in the pews and say, preacher man don't know what he's talking about. Preacher man don't know what he's talking about. He don't know what my life's all about. I don't know what your life is all about, but I know somebody who does. God. God knows everything that's going on in your heart right now. And you want to know something? He is more concerned with the state of your heart, with the state of your spirituality, than he is with your circumstances. Do you understand that? Most of the time when I pray about God changing the circumstance, God says, I need to change you first. That's a hard thing to hear from God. And we don't always want to hear it because we don't want to change, do we? We want to just live our lives the way we feel comfortable living. Unfortunately, if we're not living the way God wants us to live, we're hurting ourselves and we're hurting other people, and God don't like that. And if you won't make a change, then he'll make a change. Joshua was able to be determined with his walk with God because he was a disciplined man. We too must discipline ourselves in our own Christian walk. See, it's easy to sit in the pews and point out the faults of other people, isn't it? Dear God, why did you have me sit next to this person? Oh, they're just so messed up. I don't even know why I come to this church anymore. And if you're saying those things in your heart, God's looking back at you and saying, well, where's your fruit of the Spirit? Where's your long-suffering and patience and love and kindness? Where's that at? Why are you judging other people? Why are you doing that? We too must discipline ourselves in our own Christian walk. You can't look at your neighbor and discipline them. They ain't going to listen to you any more than you're going to listen to them. So what do? You open up this book called the Bible. Some of you are familiar with it, I'm sure. And you pray. You say, Lord, I want to hear from you today. Talk to me. Joshua knew that not everyone would stand by him. Come on, guys. Wake up to reality. Not everybody loves you as much as you think they do. I know what you all do. You stand in front of that mirror combing your hair for hours on end, and you sit there and you pose. And you say to yourself, I got it going on. Who couldn't love this? Joshua knew that not everyone would stand by him. Does that mean you give up on God? Man, people will hate you for serving God. I got people that hate me. I know they hate me, but Jesus said if they hate you, they hate him first. So they got to deal with him. They don't hate me because of me. They hate me because I serve God. And if you are serving God, you will be hated too by people who don't serve him. In fact, if you don't have some non-believers looking down upon you in disgust, you might want to ask God what's wrong with your walk that they're not seeing him. Because non-believers should see Jesus in your walk. And if they reject him, they'll reject you. Do you understand where I'm coming from? And Joshua knew that not everyone would stand by him. So you're going to have some people leave you when you're determined to stand by God. Joshua knew that not everyone would stand by him, but he did know that God would never leave him. Understand that when all of your friends leave, understand when all of your resources are spent, understand that when everyone has deserted you and everybody has hurt you and everybody's insulted you, there's that one person left, God. Remember the woman that was about to be stoned? Caught in the very act of adultery. And Jesus said, okay, anybody who doesn't have any sin, you could cast that first stone, right? And the older people left first, didn't they? Us old people, we know. And then he said to her, where are they? Where are your accusers? You see, they left. They left her alone. But Jesus was still there. He didn't leave. Same thing with you. Same thing with me. Same thing with us. The world might want to stone you. They might hate you. They might desert you. They might leave you. But guess what? When they all leave and give up because Jesus came to your rescue, you'll be there with him, basking in his presence. And he'll say to you, where are they? Where are your accusers? And he'll say, neither do I accuse you. Go, you are forgiven. You see, when God forgives you, you truly are set free. There isn't no one or nothing that can put you back into slavery except for one person. Who is that? You. You could put yourself back into the bondage of slavery of sin by condemning yourself. See, God doesn't condemn. He convicts. He tells you, you got a problem, but I'm here to save you from it. But if you don't want to accept the salvation of Christ, then you can condemn your own self by saying, I'm not worthy and I don't want it, blah, blah, blah. And you can live in condemnation the rest of your life, not accepting the true forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Joshua was determined to serve God no matter what, because he knew that the reward for serving God far outweighed the cost. Now, there are costs to serving God. And it's not all about money costs. I'm talking about there are sacrifices that you will have to make to serve God. You'll have to give up some of that music that you're so used to listening to. You'll have to give up some of them friends that you're so happy to hang around with. Because not all your friends are good for you. They're not. They're not. If you're hanging around people and you're not acting like a Christian when you're around them, you got a problem with that friendship. They're leading you astray. There are some things that you're going to have to give up. There are some things you're going to have to put up with. When I went to this company I worked for, I had bubble gum stuck in my Bible. I had hate notes, Jesus freak, written on my desk. It's true. It's true. But my reward was far greater than the cost. Galatians 6:9 says, and I love this verse. You guys might want to make a note of this. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Don't grow weary. Don't say going to church ain't helping me. You're going to get out of church what you put into it, amen? You're going to get out of church what you put into it. If you feel like church ain't helping you, are you helping your church? Slam. Does that strike somebody in the heart? If you feel like church ain't helping you, are you helping your church? Are you pouring all yourself into God's work where he called you, where he placed you? Let us not grow weary while doing good. Doing good. Are you doing good? Are you doing good works for God? Are the things that you say out of your mouth good? When you speak about people, is it good? Or is it rumors and gossip and whatnot? That stuff is sickening to God. He wants you to do good things for him and for other people. For in due season, when God's ready to bless you, we shall reap if, see, there's a condition, we do not lose heart. So first of all, don't grow weary. Don't start freaking out saying, oh, church ain't working. God ain't helping me. Because when God's ready, when the season is right, when you're prepared, you shall reap if you don't lose heart. See, some people walk away from God just before the blessing is about to take place. The Israelites were shown the promised land. They sent out spies to check out the land. And they became afraid. They lost heart. Amen? And what happened? They spent another 40 years walking around in the desert. It's a guesstimate that they were only about a few miles away from the promised land. But God had them going around a mountain. They lost heart. They gave up. They didn't believe God. They wouldn't push through anymore. They saw the wall in front of them. They saw the enemies. They saw the giants. And they became afraid. And they said, no, we don't want what God has for us over there. It's too hard to take it. It requires faith in God. I don't want to do that. If we do not lose heart, there's a condition. So if you guys ever had a promise from God with a condition on it, but you lost heart and you stopped, you gave up, can you blame God? You understand that you can have a blessing from God right in front of you today, that he is giving you something, but you're not happy with it anymore. You've lost heart with it because you got to maintain it. You got to care for it like a husband or a wife, a marriage, a family, and you lose heart. Well, it's too hard. It's too hard to go to church. It's too hard to listen to the preacher, man. No, I'm just going to lose heart and give up and stop going to church and sit at home on Sundays. I know what I'll do. I'll watch preacher men on TV. Yeah. That way I won't have to put up with everybody in church. And some of you might think that's crazy, but I was told that yesterday. Somebody told me, I'm so sick of church that I listen to it on TV now. Why are you sick of church? Oh, everybody in there is rotten. They're so mean. And I said, well, maybe God puts you in there because you're so great. And you could be the example that they need to be a good person. Does that make sense to you? That sometimes God will put you with awful people to be their example? Maybe that's why you work around those people you can't stand. Because God is trying to say, listen, you go to church. You know right from wrong. You know my word. Why don't you live it in front of them? Maybe you could show them by example how great and wonderful I am. See, we're to glorify God with our good works. When God sends you out into the world after you've been saved, you know, he doesn't just teleport you back up to heaven, does he? He didn't teleport you up to heaven. He leaves you here for a while, right? It's to do good works. It's so that people can see him through you, so they can be saved too. That's the glory and the grace of God. The fact that I am flawed and I am a sinful man saved by grace gives more glory to God because he can work through me. My second point is Joshua offers to us a crusade for good character. Proverbs 22:1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. Man, your character is the only thing that you can't buy or sell. It's how people look at you and how they trust you. Are you the kind of person that you tell somebody you're going to be there to do something for them, and they look at you and they say to their friends when you walk away, man, don't believe a thing they say. They're so full of themselves. They'll tell you anything they want. You guys know people like that? Are you one of those people? You make promises and you don't follow through on them? That's poor character. I'm not saying about, you know, something like an emergency pops up and you give the person a call and you apologize 50 times and you tell them I'll make it up. I'm not talking about those situations. Those things happen. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. God is not always in a hurry to change our circumstances, but rather he is more interested in our character development. You ever wonder why you can't get out of the rut you're in? God is trying to change you. He'll put a thorn in your side to agitate you, to see whether or not you're going to react godly or ungodly. Got a person in your life you can't stand? Don't pray him away. Pray that God changes you. Pray that God will give you the temperament to deal with that person. Amen? Because if you got somebody in your life who's being mean to you, and you're being mean back to them, and they're saying mean things to you, and you're saying mean things back to them, you're not being a Christian. And God will probably keep them there until you learn a lesson with that person. You conquer people with love. Love conquers all. Amen? So your circumstances might stay the same, but you could change. You follow what I'm saying. God is interested in changing you more so than your circumstances. To serve God, we must, as Christians, have an upright character that reflects Jesus. Does that mean we're perfect? No, but that's not an excuse. You can't say, well, I'm only human and I'm not perfect and I mess up. No, but we should have a character that reflects Jesus. What would Jesus do? You seen the bumper stickers, right? Right? You seen the, what would Jesus do? Well, what would he do? Well, you wouldn't know that unless you read your Bible. Amen. The Bible tells you what Jesus would do. We must reflect Jesus. Jesus talked about the Father. Jesus talked about salvation. Do you find yourself doing that on occasion? Do you go to work and tell people about Jesus? Or do you work with people that you can't stand and you almost pray that they're going to hell? I hate to say it, but there's some people that will actually curse you and say, go to hell. Am I right? Let's be real here. We've all heard it. People have told other people to go to hell. But the reality of it is that there is a hell and that you may be working with somebody who's going there and you never spoke the word of God. And instead of hating them and despising them and can't stand to be around them and complaining about them to God and praying them away, God is whispering to your heart, maybe even today through what I'm saying, and says, love them, preach to them, tell them, accept them. Don't condone what they're doing, but invite them into the kingdom of God. Be an example if they won't listen, right? Not everybody's going to listen to what you have to say. And if you act just like they act, then they're going to say, see, you're no better than me. You're telling me how to live in front of God and you don't even live yourself? Oh, hypocrite. To serve God, we must, as Christians, have an upright character that reflects Jesus. Joshua knew this, and he had it. Deuteronomy 7:6, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. Do you feel holy? Raise your hand if you feel holy. Well, you know what holiness means? It means set apart. And you are set apart whether or not you feel that way. God has placed you on his right side. You are a chosen people when you are a child of his. The Lord your God has chosen you. See, you didn't choose God. Some of you thought, well, I came to church and I picked God. I found God. Man, God's not lost. You're not finding him. The Lord your God has chosen you. Don't you feel good that God chose you? Doesn't that make you feel good that God looked down and he said, ooh, I want that one. He's cherry picking. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself. See, God is jealous. He's greedy with you. He wants you all to himself. Does that make you feel good that the Almighty God wants you to himself? People might shun you, push you away, curse you, hate you, talk about you, but God is greedy for you. Think about that for a minute. God can have anything in the world, anything in the universe, anything in heaven, and he wants your heart. He wants you. He wants you in all of your messed up life. He wants you anyways. He loves you so much that he excused every bad thing you ever did through his son, Jesus Christ. He said, listen, I want you so bad, my son's going to die for you. He put the love for you over the love of his son who is perfect. So why do we look in the mirror and count our sins when he sacrificed a sinless son for you? Praise God. For himself. A special treasure, the word says. You're special and you're a treasure to God. You're a gem. You're a gold mine. You're far beyond that to him. You're precious. You're priceless above all the people on the face of the earth. That means that anyone who is not saved, there you are, above and treasured, priceless. I don't know about you, but when I read that God calls me a special treasure, that humbles me. And it fills my heart with joy knowing that if God be for me, then who can be against me? Watch out. I got my God in front of me and I'm his special treasure. So you better watch it when you're dealing with me because my daddy carries a big stick. Praise God. And he protects what is his. And you remember that. You remember that God protects what is his. You are priceless to him. My third point is Joshua offers to us a daring commitment to an eternal God. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. I'm sorry, does that say some of your heart? A little bit of your heart? Is that what it said? You mean I can't just like divide it in sections and give him some of it? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Give him everything you got and God will bless you. God will bless you. Married couples, don't you hate it when you find out your spouse is holding out on you? You're talking to them and they give you half the attention because they're on the phone with one ear and saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. Or they're texting or they're doing anything but listening to you 100%. Frustrating, isn't it? God is the same way. In today's world, commitment is almost unheard of. People are very quick to change on one another, but we can trust in God. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. One minute someone's speaking good things to you. Oh, they love you so much. They care about you so much. In today's world, commitment is almost unheard of. People are very quick to change on one another, but we can trust in God. I hate it when people tell me how much they love me and then they'll show up to help me. It's not shame on me. It's shame on them. Right? Listen, commitment means that you give somebody your full, uninhibited attention. Right? Amen? Hebrews 3:8. Now listen to this, because people will change on you. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, the God that the Bible talks about is the same God that's in your heart today. It's the same God that's dealing with you today. And the reason why this is important is because people like to put a date on the Bible. Oh, that was back then. I don't believe an all-loving and all-caring God would send anybody to hell. That was yesterday's God. Well, that's idolatry. Because Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. Did you know that? Jesus taught more on hell than he did on heaven. He didn't say a whole lot of stuff about heaven. But boy, he had a lot of stuff to say about hell. Because see, if you want to get into heaven, he's the way to do it. But if you want to go to hell, then you just keep going the way you've been going and never accept him as your forgiveness for sins. And you'll find yourself right there. See, here's the thing. People are not going to be condemned when God comes back. They're already condemned. This is what you may not understand. The Bible teaches this. Every person who does not accept Jesus Christ has already been condemned by God to go to hell. They're already on their way. The sentencing has already taken place. There is going to be no courtroom hearing. When a person dies and they haven't accepted Jesus Christ, they already have been sentenced. Jesus Christ came to release us from the judgment of God. Amen? To release us out of prison. To release us out of the bondage of sin. God does not want us to put our trust in anything but him because he is the only thing we can trust. God does not want us to put our trust in anything but him. Proverbs 3:5-8, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You don't have all the answers. You can't figure it all out. You don't know what tomorrow brings. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. See, when you're looking around and asking God, what should I do? He's going to tell you what to do. But if you're just going to do what you feel like doing, you're going to get exactly what you asked for. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Man, don't get all wise up and say, I can handle this and I can do whatever I want and God ain't going to do nothing about it. Wrong. You should fear the Lord and depart from evil. Before you say that mean thing about somebody and you think no one's listening, understand God is listening and recording every single word you say. The Bible says that you're going to have to take account for every word that comes out of your mouth. You better depart from evil. The Bible is saying this because you better fear God. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones if you do this. I know we all want that. Amen. My last point. Joshua offers to us a challenge to every spiritual dropout. Who feels like a dropout spiritually today? Raise your hand if you feel like you have dropped out of God's holy word, of walking with God. Well, you may not want to raise your hand, but listen to this. Luke 9:62. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about people who have seen the work of God, like Judas did, spent 3 years with Christ and betrayed him, and looked back at money. He didn't want to serve Jesus. He wanted that silver. Amen? He wasn't fit for the kingdom of God, but there's hope. Because God is looking for serious people who are willing to work hard for him. People who want to serve him out of love. Not because I'm a righteous man and look how good I am and look what I'm doing. No, you got to love God. That's what impresses him, that you're doing these good deeds out of love. People who want to serve him out of love, faithful people who are not wishy-washy. Oh, pastor, I'll be here to vacuum the church and never show up. Amen. I'll come over and help you watch your kids while you go for that job interview and never show up. Wishy-washy. Sometimes I'm here and sometimes I'm not. I'll come to church when I feel like it. I won't when I don't. Amen? God's looking for serious, faithful people. Husbands, wives, how would you like it if your spouse came home when they felt like it? I'll stay gone for a weekend. It's just a weekend. She don't need me there. Shoot, all we're going to do is watch TV and go to bed afterwards. I could have more fun doing something else with somebody else. Would that work? Man, I see some of them women back there going, uh-huh, for about a second. But listen, God is looking for people who want to have a relationship with him that's not wishy-washy. You can't say, well, God, I'll come to church when I feel like it. That's an insult. That's like telling your spouse, oh, I'll be there when I feel like it. Oh, yeah? Try it. Revelation 3:16. Now listen to this, guys, because this is a scary verse. So then, this is Christ speaking. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Well, what he's saying is that he wants no part of you. If you're not serious about him, if you're just walking the fence and saying, well, you know, I love the world and I go to church, you disgust God and he'll spit you out of his mouth, another translation says. We cannot be double-minded when serving God. We are all in or we are all out. Because listen, if you're halfway in, God's going to throw you out. Because you ain't committed. You're lukewarm. He's going to vomit you out of his mouth. James 1:5-8. I'm almost done. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from God. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Double-mindedness. Oh, I want to serve God. No, I don't. It's a little bit too hard over there. Oh, it's calming down. Okay, I want to serve God. Oh, no, I don't. Hey, church looks fun today. I think I'll go. Ooh, hey, I'm having a great time, but next week I'm back over here. You're not going to receive anything from God. That's wishy-washy. I don't want friends like that. Don't people like that annoy you? I love them, but they annoy me. I want somebody who's convicted in their ways, who's determined in their ways, who's faithful in their ways. Right? Praise God. Joshua is just one example in the Bible of people who gave their all, man, that word, to serve God. We must pray and ask God to help us follow their examples. Perhaps you feel as though you had your chance with God, but you blew it, and now it's too late. If so, remember that God is merciful. He is merciful, isn't he? You may not want to give other people a chance, right? They blew it with you. Never going to care about them again, are you? But if we repent, if we're truly sorry, and we ask him for forgiveness, will he not forgive us? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is the God of all. He is the God of all grace. He is the God of all forgiveness. He is the God of all love. And he wants to forgive you from all of your sins. But you got to confess them. And he will be faithful. Even in the times that you're not. Even in the times that you fall and you stumble. He'll be faithful. He'll uphold you with his righteous right hand. He'll take care of you. He'll watch over you. He'll continue to love you forever and ever and ever and ever.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.